Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the Sports Edge with Rick Wolf on your flagship station for New York sports. The Fan, Sports Radio 66 and 101.9 FM, WFAN, New York.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Rick Wolf's Sports Edge. I'm your host, Rick Wolf. Well, as you know, each passing week this summer brings new developments in the planning of high school sports for this coming year. 2 weeks ago, New Jersey announced that they were going to delay the start of high school sports until September 14th. This past week, New York State announced that they're going to postpone the start of their high school fall sports until Monday, September 21st. In both states, it would appear that Plan B, so to speak, is to start in early January with three shortened seasons that would overlap each other a bit. Now look, no matter what plan is going to be employed, there will no longer be any state playoffs this year. After all, there are only so many weeks in the calendar year, and when you condense the schedule, well, something has to give. And to me, in my opinion, not having regional or state playoffs, well, that's a small sacrifice. I mean, after all, for years, at least in New York State, there were no state playoffs. In my opinion, to me, I'd just be very, very happy if the kids in high school today were allowed to compete and play on their high school sports squads this year. To me, that's the key here, and I'm sure you and your athletes feel the same way. We all agree that we're eager to see our kids go back and play high school sports. We all believe in all the positive benefits that derive from these extracurricular activities, but we also understand that this year we have to figure out a way for our youngsters and their coaches and teachers and, quite frankly, ourselves to remain safe and healthy. And along those lines, the fact is, as we go through all this and we discuss all this, and we know, of course, that pro sports are getting ready to launch again, but the high school, the amateur level, it's just complicated. There are still very essential, vital questions that remain unanswered. For example, there's still no explanation as to how football, a high-risk sport for the transmission of COVID-19, how that will be played in a safe manner. How do kids line up across from each other in a line of scrimmage without breathing in each other's faces? Or when there's a pileup after a tackle? Now look, I know the NFL is talking about using a protective face mask this coming fall, but will that really work? And at the high school level, if we did use these protective face masks, well, who's going to pay for those? Remember, the school budgets are going to be very, very tight this coming year. I also wonder about a sport like wrestling or basketball or soccer. Even if they are pushed back to later this year or into early spring, I have the same question. How do you play those sports in a safe fashion? Again, wrestling, that's a close contact sport, just like football. Basketball, I know it's a medium risk sport, but I still think that's a concern. Soccer the same way. Lacrosse, ice hockey. How do you play these in a way that's conducive to the kids maintaining their health? Now, look, I know a number of you have suggested to me in the last couple of weeks about allowing the low-risk sports like cross-country or golf, swimming, tennis, let those start on time in the fall, and maybe, you know, even about baseball and softball as well. But hold off on football, soccer, and field hockey till later in the year. And I have to say, it's very possible It's very possible, and nobody wants to even entertain this idea, we may actually have to cancel some selected sports for this coming year, including football and wrestling, because they're just so dangerous. Now, look, we also all know that on top of all these concerns and worries about the high school sports I just mentioned, we also know that there are lots and lots of kids currently playing in travel and club teams. As I have noted numerous times on this show in recent weeks, it's the travel organizations which are now flourishing during these uncertain times. Why? Because, as you know, travel clubs are not encumbered in any way by school districts or state licensing when it comes to their teams. And as such, their athletes, well, they've been attending practices and competing in games and tournaments as though the pandemic has totally come and gone. And in many situations, the travel programs do try to remind the kids to be socially distant on the bench and to work out in practices in smaller groups, to use sanitizers, and so on. And the parents are reminded to wear masks and stay distant in the stands or on the sidelines. Now, the fact is, the kids on travel teams, they don't dress in a high school locker room. They dress at home. They do not take buses. They go usually to travel situations in their own family car and so on and so forth. So that's all good. But I have to also say, I'm also getting reports about travel teams that are not so reassuring, that the rules for safety and hygiene are not necessarily being followed strictly. That, in fact, these kids, these teenagers, well, they're just being kids. And many times, their parents are feeling strongly in the same way. So what we have here are two worlds of youth sports which seemingly are in parallel paths. High school sports, which are being very, very cautious and have already pushed back the start of fall sports. And on the other hand, we have travel teams, which right now are playing. They're back to work. Kids are playing full speed ahead in soccer, baseball, softball, lacrosse, you name it. So who's right? Honestly, I don't know. That's the question. That's the problem. Let's talk about this. 1-877-337-6666. We do know some basic facts that do help us in our discussion. The hot weather did not erase the virus. In fact, just the opposite. Florida, Texas, California, as you know, they're all seeing record infections, and presumably there will be a spike in deaths in the next few weeks. We've also seen lots of video of young people not wearing masks or social distancing. They just seem not to want to do it. And in New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, well, we did, as residents, we did practice distancing and masks over the last 4 months, and we flattened the curve. But does this mean that we are now fully out of the woods regarding the virus? 1-877-337-6666. Let us start our conversation this morning with Jack Smithlin, the Hall of Fame coach from Farrell Lawn. Jack, good morning.
How are you, Rick?
I'm well, Jack. How are you holding up?
I'm hanging in there. Hope everybody's safe and healthy where you are.
Yep.
It's funny because Dr. Rob Gilbert over at Montclair State gave a good analogy about, the bear, the virus being a bear that you're fighting. And, you don't stop fighting. You don't stop fighting the bear until the bear rests. You can't take a rest from this and expect it to stop too.
Mm-hmm.
So, and my theory is, you don't slow a fire down by throwing wood onto it. You don't throw the wood on it. So, you got to back away a little bit here. I've been in contact with a lot of New Jersey people, and I've been keeping on top of what's happening in New Jersey, and I have some great sources. New Jersey is just put out their guidelines for phase two, but you must complete 2 weeks of phase one before you can even start phase two. And after you complete phase two, it's another 2 weeks of virtual practice before your season starts in September.
Yep.
Now, football, like you said, it is a very, very tough sport to play. It's a high-risk sport, and so is wrestling, like you stated, and I believe – basketball is not a mid risk. I think it's a high risk. You're shoulder to shoulder, sweat to sweat. Look, you can't play defense 10 feet away from a basketball player. So, these things are crazy. I have a good friend that I asked to do me a favor. And this friend coaches in the fall. And I asked them to do me, take a poll and ask a few of your players, you know, newcomers coming in, guys that have been there or girls that have been there for a while, and ask them, in this time, where the virus is at this particular time, would you play in a sport or, you know, talk to their parents and ask them if you would allow your child to play at this time? And they told me that more than 50% of the people that they contacted said no, they would not allow their player, their sons or daughters to play.
Let me stop you there. You asked a coach in New Jersey who coaches in the fall, and he did a quick sort of ad hoc poll of his current high school players, and they 50% of them said they would not play this fall if COVID was not eradicated.
If the virus stays where it is right now, okay, and which it's getting stronger, it seems, especially throughout the United States, numbers, like you said, are going up, they would not allow their child to play. And you know, it's funny because you put kids in a situation where, you know, hey, you're coming in as a freshman, you want to make the football team or the soccer team, you know, and we're going to play. So you really have no option other than to say, well, if I ever want to be a soccer player or a football player, I'm going to have to play. You know, and you're putting them in a situation where it's really not their choice, even though it is their choice. But, you know, what's the kid going to do? Oh, no, I'm not going to play, because of course they're going to play. So now the parents have to step in and make decisions. So in a situation with playing football, all right, let's just say use football, playing football, half of your players aren't even going to show up. How are you going to do a program here in New Jersey? One of our local high schools already started their phase one, which they did on time. I think phase one was the 13th of July.
Mm-hmm.
And they've already shut down for 2 weeks, all closed, completely, no practice, no nothing, no contact, because a couple people on the team came in contact with a person that tested positive.
Yeah.
So now that school right there is shut down. Their program is shut down for 2 weeks. Now when they start back up, they still have to complete that 2 weeks of phase one. So how far are they going to be behind these other programs?
Look, Jack, we both admire the efforts, you know, by the various task force in New Jersey and in New York State to try and get around this. But as you just said a few minutes ago, with Dr. Rob Gilbert, you know, this is the virus is still in control, and we can make all these great plans and strategies and Plan Bs, whatever.
Right.
But the fact is, the virus is dictating how this is going to work out, and I it just seems like we need to sort of take a step back and say, look, let's understand there are certain sports that are low risk, like running, like cross country or swimming or whatever it might be. And they can go ahead and go forth in the fall. If we're missing sports that much, go with those sports. But, you know, I don't really understand, by the way, how they decided that football, of course, is high risk, or wrestling because it's so close contact. But how is soccer only a medium risk or basketball? What was the determination there? As you point out, you really can't play basketball. You can't play defense if you're 10 feet away from the guy you're guarding.
That's the way I used to play. But
but you know, I don't understand how that works. Or soccer, anybody seen a high school soccer match knows there's a lot of close contact and a lot of scrums, guys going after balls or girls. I mean, it's just it's really close contact. Or on a corner kick and the ball is kicked into the scrum in front of the net. There's a lot of physical contact.
Yeah.
So I don't understand why that's medium risk, you know?
My contact here, you know, my main contact is a very good friend, a guy named John Pizarro, who is the head football coach and head baseball coach at Hawthorne High School. And he says, after he gave me a lot of this information, he said to me, that's all contingent on this virus getting weaker, maybe being under control, maybe a vaccine coming out. But if it doesn't, Now what they do, and New Jersey, like you said at the beginning in your opening, and they are, they came out with a program that John told me about that they're ready to go to a start in January.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, every single time that, you know, the virus stays where it is, all the guidelines can be made, all the rules can be put forth, everything can be said, get started, get ready, and that's important, be ready. But every time they look at this virus and they see that where it is and the strength of this virus, they push it off. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think we're going to have sports. I really don't.
But
if
Jack,
people are safe and they – go ahead.
I was just saying, I got to take a break here. But let me ask you this, because you're obviously involved. You're getting around New Jersey. You're still seeing, as I said in the opening remarks – and I get these reports from everywhere. There are travel teams, tournaments, baseball, softball, everywhere going on, correct?
I'm telling you, it's like there's no virus. I've been going to games. You know, I'm a college softball player. Player, yeah, I wish. I'm a college coach, and I still go out to look to scout. There are 16 U's and 18 U's going on, and it's like there's no virus. Kids are sitting on the bench, shoulder to shoulder, no mask. Now, I went to watch one of my hitters the other day, and their team was following rules. Their kids were wearing masks. Their coaches were wearing masks. The other team, they're passing their water bottles. I mean, it was completely outrageous to think that we have a death virus here, and we're not following rules.
Telling you, as I said, and Jack, as always, my thanks for your comments and your insights and your reporting. You know, this is really good stuff, and parents and coaches really benefit from hearing what you're seeing out there. Jack Smithson, thank you. And all right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'll go right back to your calls. As Jack just mentioned and sort of delineated, we're seeing parallel paths here. On one hand, we're seeing kids and travel teams and showcases still playing like there's no virus. On the other hand, the high schools are going with contingency plans to push back the start of the fall, maybe start in January. It's getting very, very curious, very odd, and quite frankly, very, very complicated and frustrating. 1-877-337-6666 is our number. I will return right to your calls after these messages.
New York's number one sports radio, 101.9 FM.
The Fan.
New York State has announced that all high school sports will be delayed until September 21st. Now, last week, as you recall, New Jersey said they would start on September 14th with practices. In other words, we're seeing in both states a delay when it comes to high school sports this fall, obviously due to the COVID concerns. And just for the record, high school sports in Connecticut and Pennsylvania, well, they are slated to start on time, just as they have in previous years. There is no suggestion or indication in those states, in Connecticut and Pennsylvania, that they are going to postpone their fall sports at all. For them, it's full steam ahead. They obviously feel that the levels of COVID infection are down enough to move ahead, that perhaps, maybe here in New York, New Jersey, we're just being a bit too cautious. And along the lines of moving ahead, well, we already know that around the New York, New Jersey area, travel teams are already back to work and have been for several weeks now. Kids are playing, as we just heard from Jack Smithland talking about his own scouting of kids playing ball the last few weeks. They're all playing. And in many cases, some kids are trying to wear masks and be socially distant. In other cases, they aren't. It's just, you know, it is just so weird. And we're asking who's right and who's wrong at 1-877-337-6666. Let's continue with our calls. Let's go to our friend Ed Ward over in Jersey. Ed, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Excuse me. Hello.
Hello, Ed. You're on the Fan.
Hi, Rick. How you doing? Sorry for the delay. I'm at my showcase, and one of the supervisors here wanted to speak to me about something. How you doing?
Good, Ed. Well, we're just talking about the fact that, I mean, you're at a showcase for baseball, and, you know, as far as you guys are concerned.
I'll give you the whole thing right now. I think it's been going great, and I'll tell you what's happened.
Yep.
Three times yesterday, I had park supervisors come in to make sure everything was social distance.
Mm-hmm.
And the parents here have been phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
The players have been phenomenal. My umpires have been phenomenal. and even the coaching staff that I got hired, the college coaches that have been here, have been phenomenal. It's amazing. We were here for 12 hours yesterday, starting at 9 o'clock in the morning. And whatever it is, you know, I've had to ride around the fields and all that stuff just to supervise and all that stuff. And everyone has been great about it. So,
and where is this taking place, Ed? Where is this taking place?
Lincoln Park in Jersey City, New Jersey. And one of your former college teammates in the ACBL, yep, to say hello because he's coaching the team, Rico Bellini.
Oh, geez, great ball player, Rico Bellini.
He said to say hello and all that stuff. But
give him my best. Yeah,
I will. I'll see him again a little later. But my point is this. I've had to prepare for this a while, especially with the social distancing and all that stuff. I send emails out to the coaches that are involved, you know, everyone that's been involved, and they've been cooperative. You know, you got to stay on top of it. Some people, and I feel, and I've gotten word on this because my nephew's a college coach and he's been to events, no one's staying on top of it. They're just happy to run their events, if you understand what I'm saying, and, you know, not worry about the social distancing. Well, I, you know, again, this is something that I pride on. I enjoy doing. I have to be on top of this, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, so let me ask you. So if you see, I don't know, situation where a couple of players are not socially distant, do you or somebody go over and just say, hey, you know, back off, or does that happen?
Well, here's what I've done. Because again, I'm running, you know, right around all over the field. You know, if it's the players, I just ask the umpires, if they see it, just walk over to the coach politely and say, hey, coach, can you keep them social distance and all stuff? And everyone's been cooperative, if you understand what I'm saying.
What about the kids? Do they have to, before they can participate, do they have to show documentation?
Oh, yeah. Everyone's had to sign a waiver. I got two site managers, Billy Ryan, Paul Grainer, and I also, Paul Grainer's a trainer, and Steve Callahan. Their responsibilities are to collect the COVID-19 waivers, and not only that, they're taking temperatures right before the game and all that.
I was going to say, temperatures are being taken all the time, and do the kids have to sign some sort of documentation that they've taken a COVID test?
Not the players. Their parents have to sign it, but like my umpires and my coaches that are working the event, they all have to do the same thing.
Okay. I mean, the problem is, you know, this is what I just mentioned. There are baseball showcases, tournaments like you're running all day, and it's like, okay, we're back to work. And so as far as you were concerned and your associates, well, there's a reason that they shouldn't play baseball or softball in the fall, because you already are and it's being safe. I mean, have you gotten any feedback? Anybody gotten sick or problems?
No one's gotten sick. We had a skill session Friday night. We had games yesterday, and you know, we got games this morning. You know, two sets of games on two different fields. So hopefully, it won't be so hot and all that stuff.
Yeah,
you know,
well, it's going to be hot.
So I haven't gotten any complaints and all that stuff. And what I'm going to do is this: I'm going to send a follow up email, you know, like a thank you to all the teams, and I just said, please keep me updated if anyone, you know, got sick or whatever.
Yeah. And how long has this been going on? How long have you been running these showcases this year in July?
This is the first one this
okay.
year.
This is
my third year running the event. Go ahead.
Yeah, what I'm curious about, Ed, is to see whether it happens in the next 2 weeks, if there are any spike in infections from these kids or their parents, you know. So.
Yeah, on that one, I'm supposed to run another one in 2 weeks, another weekend one. We'll see what happens. Hopefully Governor Murphy won't have to make a decision and say, you know, because the spike's gone up and everything gets shut down, you know?
Yeah, I hear you. Ed, thank you for this report.
Thank you. Have a good day, Rick.
Thanks, Ed. Good luck with the tournament. So there is a report from the field, and Ed's been running this yesterday, and he's doing all of the protocols and taking temperatures and doing what they can with the park rangers to remind the parents and the kids to be to think about protection when it comes to their hygiene and stuff. And as far as those guys are concerned, it's business as usual. Let's move on. Let's go to Andrew over in Corum. Andrew, good morning. You're next up on the Fan. Andrew,
hello,
there?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, speak up, Andrew. I can barely hear you.
I'm sorry. Let's see. I can fix this. Hello, can you hear me?
Much better. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. My thing is the complaints about the inaction of the American government compared to other countries that are dealing with this pandemic, where $2,000 a month has been given to every citizen for 6 months now, and Americans have been left out hanging to dry with nothing.
Andrew, I'm going to stop you right there. We're not talking about the American government right now. That's a topic which
we're talking about how Americans have been screwed, and the pandemic has been made much worse on purpose.
Let me stop you there. Thank you. That's not the focus of what we're talking about right now. We're not talking about the American government. We're not talking politics. We're talking about our kids. We're talking about our kids getting back to playing sports. That is the domain of the show, and there's a lot of people who want to call and get their thoughts across. In fact, let's go to David over in Edison, New Jersey. David, you're on the fan.
How are you? First of all, I appreciate, you know, a lot of these sports shows are getting too political. But
well, they may be political, and that's up to the hosts of the shows. But in this particular case, my time is limited, and we have a lot of ground to cover, as you know, David. Because parents are looking for answers. Now, you know, we just heard from Ed Ward; he's running baseball showcases. Seems to be doing just fine. We also heard from Jack Smithlin. There's concerns about parents saying, "I'm not sure I let my kid play football this year, even if the school sanctioned it." It's a lot of debate as to what's the right way to go on this.
Right. So here's what I think. Listen, if you see 50% of the parents are saying they wouldn't let their kids play, then let the school should sanction it and let those parents not let the kids play. You know, at some point, it's like the parents can make the decision. And it's really like, I think it's a little bit of a weak argument to say that you're putting the kids in too tough of a situation. You know, the resilient kids, they can't play for 1 year, then that's it. You're making everyone lose out. A lot of people, parents are okay with their kids playing and are willing to take the risk. I don't know if you know if it's considered risk. There's like, with kids especially, the rates of infection, the infection might be high, but the rates of people getting, like, seriously sick are very low. It's really not, like, you know, I think it's at some point people gotta make their own decisions.
We do know, statistically, that the kids in their teenage years who contract the virus, we've gotten some preliminary results that say that these kids are not the ones who are looking at concerns of mortality. The disease tends to really take its toll on people over the age of 30, 35. And that's the concern. The kids may be, you know, maybe asymptomatic. They get the disease, from their peers. But when the kids go home and hang around with their parents or their, older grandparents, whoever in their immediate family, those are the ones that end up being the ones with real health issues and having up, going to be hospitalized. So that's the concern here. The problem is that kids, and this is true of all generations, of when you're, 16 or 18 years old, you think you're going to live forever, that you're going to be immortal. And you sure as heck don't worry about what you're going to be like when you're 50 or 60 or 70. But unfortunately, that's the reality of this this really, god-awful disease. It's invisible, and we just don't know how it affects the older people, because maybe it's the kids bring it home. So, while we hear that kids are allowed to go back and play sports and they seem to be healthy and fine, the real concern is, a few weeks later, how are the kids' parents dealing with? And I do think, David, and thank you for your call this morning, I do think it's a real concern as to, how do we... I mean, the kids today also know, and kids are smart. Kids are, obviously, they're online 24/7. There are reports that in some cases, even if you're young and you contract the disease and you don't feel any concerns, the disease may have some long-term impact on your lungs in terms of scar tissue, which is not resolve itself or go away. That's something that the doctors are still checking on. We've heard about younger kids having problems with inflammation of their arteries and stuff. So there's so many unanswered questions about this weird virus and how it takes a toll, not just on older people, but on the kids as well. And if your kid's an athlete, and they're in the prime of their life, you want them to go out and play and compete, but you also worry about the long-term impact as well. That's what we're talking about on the show this morning. All right, let me take a time out. Obviously, I want to get more discussion about this and talk more about, what do you think we should be doing? Are there other ways, other solutions that we haven't considered yet? We haven't talked much about this idea, for example, of holding off on the fall entirely and starting in January. There would be overlap of three seasons into the spring, which causes complications as well. But maybe that's the thing to do. Maybe we'll have a vaccine by January. Anyhow, 1-877-337-6666, that is our number. I will return with your calls after this timeout.
Well, you can't have New York without sports. And you can't have sports without the fan. Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
Well, here's some good news. Ed Randall, he's back talking baseball, and he'll be talking baseball this morning here on The Fan at 9 o'clock, right after the Sports Edge. Got to tell you, it was nice to see the Yanks and the Mets playing baseball last night. You know, that's a good sign. For baseball fans like myself, it was very welcome news. And so let's hope that the Major League Baseball season gets off and gets through their shortened season this year. It'll be obviously interesting to see how this all, you know, works out. And also a reminder, of course, you can follow me on Twitter at hashtag AskCoachWolf, or you can go to AskCoachWolf.com. Right now we're taking calls about we're looking for, you know, crystal clear solutions in a very clouded, problematic situation when it comes to high school sports. I mean, maybe just using common sense that I mentioned early on, take the really low-risk sports, you know, and let them start off in the fall and let them compete, and then hold off on the more middle or high-risk sports until January. That makes sense. I mean, common sense sort of says, why don't we do it that way? But again, we've heard already this morning that there are, you know, showcases for baseball and softball and other summer camps that are for sports that are up and running. Simple as that. 1-877-337-6666. Let's continue our conversation with John over in Glen Ridge. John, good morning. You're on The Fan.
Yeah, good morning, Rick. So a couple of points I want to make. Number one, I think we need to reduce the risk, right? And the key to reducing the risks is playing with masks. Temperature checks, people can be infectious for 2 to 3 days before they strike a temperature, so that's not a panacea at all. Yep. Keeping your hands clean, not a panacea. My son plays in a highly competitive AAU team, and they are wearing masks full-time at practice.
Now, what sport are you?
Basketball.
Basketball, okay.
Right, so they started off with socially distancing practices, and then they moved into, okay, we need to go into scrimmaging. Everybody on the team wears a mask full-time at practice from the moment they step on the court to the moment they're off the court.
So even though they're competing and they're guarding each other, the scrimmages and the games, they're all wearing masks full-time?
Not the games. So our coach is an excellent coach, a wise man, and he has made a mandate that they wear the masks at the practices. Unfortunately, in the league that they play in, they don't have this rule. And our players, in order to be competitive, have decided, you know, they're not going to wear the mask in the game. And my son, in the first weekend, played in the first day with a mask on. He couldn't compete because of, you know, there was restricted breathing, obviously, but it's not dangerous. But the next day, we said, okay, we'll make it once again, this is, as Jack said, as a parent, I'm put between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah.
He's a competitive athlete. So we made an allowance saying, while you were engaged actually in play on the game, on the court, you don't have to wear the mask.
But
now,
John, isn't that sort of
yes.
Yes. Isn't that sort of like self-defeating? I mean, you go through all these precautions, the kids are obviously wearing masks during practices, and now we're gonna play against another team and we're taking the mask off. I mean,
absolutely.
I know you can't play basketball and breathe through a mask. It's very, very hard. I was watching Clint Frazier last night wearing a mask and he hit a, you know, towering home run. But baseball isn't so much about the heavy duty.
Hold on, Rick. Let me get to some points on this.
Yeah.
Quick to the point on this.
Yes.
One of the players in the league tested positive already.
Oh.
So now we've exploded. The league's been shut down for at least a week. We don't know what the outcome is going to be.
Right.
Number two, you can. It is difficult. It is uncomfortable. It is nasty to wear a mask. But I can tell you from firsthand experience, right? Ask many military veterans, especially Gulf War veterans. You can do a lot of PT, a lot of physical, high aerobic activity wearing protective gear. And I'm not talking about a little face mask that's what we're looking for these players to wear. And I'm talking about full, you know, chemical protection warfare stuff. There's a clip of Jarhead, the movie. If you go and search on Google for Jarhead gas mask scene, you can see what you can actually be doing in a gas mask. Uncomfortable, yes. Sweaty, yes. Reduced ability, yes, right? But it's not dangerous. And if all the players are wearing these things, we have an even playing field. And to your original point, we will be able to have a better chance of having the fall sports. If people mask up, and also back to your caller about the baseball, firsthand accounts, social media images, the social distancing going on at the baseball tournaments is completely inconsistent. There are group gatherings all over the place. You can see them in social media pictures.
Yep, yep.
Completely
yep.
inconsistent.
Yes, there's so, no, nobody seems to, it's just rare. It almost is like is unique when you see a group that's following all the guidelines laid out by the CDC or the National Federation of High Schools. But on the travel level, again, you hope and pray they do, but you just said,
right.
you know, they don't see that universal kind of approach, and that's what's so disconcerting. But John, let me come back to this whole thing about sure. these face masks. Now, you obviously know this. You were in the service. Are these face masks that you talk about, first of all, are they really, how uncomfortable are they to wear if you're playing, you know, high school basketball? How tough would that be, or football? Two, how much do they cost? I mean,
so this is what I'm talking about. We're talking about standard PPE, not N95s. We're talking about surgical masks
yeah.
or double-layer cloth masks. And the biggest challenge, and this could be an engineering issue, right? So the biggest challenge that my son found in playing in the game with the only one on the court wearing the mask, right, was on inhaling, right? So what happens is that on the inhale, the mask would actually get sucked into his mouth.
Yes.
Right? So we need to somehow have a frame up around that. That's an engineering thing that we can do. Once again, uncomfortable, yes. Miserable, yes. Harder, yes. At the end of the season, you know, these kids are going to have stronger lungs.
I guess so. That's an unusual sort of side effect. But still, yeah. I mean, I mentioned earlier on in the show about the NFL is now experimenting with some sort of like plastic shield with their helmets. And you know, that may be some something to consider. Although, again, it's not like they're airtight like a mask is. They just basically
Exactly. And what the mask is actually doing, so you have to remember this, it's not stopping the virus from going out. It's severely decreasing the velocity of the particulate that could be carrying the virus, right?
Yeah,
so we're talking about 60, 70, 90, you know, whatever it is. It's a significant reduction in the chance of transmitting it by wearing a simple surgical or double-ply cloth mask. And once again, the other part of this thing is the mental health of our children, right? So we have to balance this in. So our approach has always been like, how do we reduce the risk to an acceptable level? And once again, I'll say it, I feel like a hypocrite when I let my son say to compete with other top athletes not to wear a mask during gameplay, right? And now the weekend before the next practice, one of the kids in the league is positive.
Yeah. Well,
from a team that temperature checked.
Yeah, here's the thing, it'd be wonderful, and John, thank you for your thoughts today. I appreciate it very much. But here's the thing: if we had a situation where some creative, innovative manufacturer's masks was able to come up with some sort of protective face mask, which allowed the athlete to breathe and obviously suck in oxygen while they're competing at the top levels, that would be a win-win. In the hopes that these masks that you can breathe through also somehow prevented the exhale from going into an opponent's face. I think that would be something worth considering. But the fact is, the whole idea of mask is to keep your exhale close to you, so you're not spreading germs. I don't know if that's even possible. The fact we haven't heard about these masks yet makes me think that it's not really feasible. But it's something at least that, you know, looking for solutions. Well, it's something to think about. And as we just heard from the caller, from John, he just said, look, it's you know, you can't play basketball, and it's a real problem. Taking the masks off when you're playing basketball, it doesn't make any difference if you had the mask on during practice. During the games, that's when kids are obviously interacting and breathing on each other. That's a concern. Let's move on. Let's go to Riverdale. Larry is standing by. Larry, you're next up on the fan.
Yes, sir. I enjoy your show, and I've been listening to your callers.
Thank you.
My question is this. Do you think there should be a mandate for Little League, high school, or college for masks? I'm a little bit confused about the pros and cons as what a mask can do.
Well, you know, that's the concern. I mean, all the medical experts, let's start with that, Larry. I mean, the medical experts are telling us masks are essential, just like social distancing. So when you have a situation where you see, like let's take baseball last night, I was watching very carefully. I mentioned Clint Frazier was wearing a mask throughout the entire game. even when he was batting. So clearly Clint Frazier must feel this is important, this is essential to wear a mask all times, and it didn't seem to obviously have any impact in a negative way on his ability to hit a baseball. But none of the other players are wearing masks except on the bench. The umpires, I was curious to see, had sort of a clear plastic face mask behind home plate, and the umpires on the bases wearing masks. We saw Rojas, the manager of the Mets, get to the mound and stop where the grass ends, and spent some distance away from his pitcher. The fact is, in a more perfect world, and Larry, thank you for your call. Let's just reset this. We do want our kids to wear masks. The question is, as we heard from the previous caller before Larry, how do kids compete in a heavy, intense sport when they can't really breathe in oxygen when they're wearing masks? That's the problem. We still don't understand how, for example, in baseball again, if the catcher is right behind the batter and they're interacting from a typical at-bat, let's say the count goes full, they're interacting right next to each other for probably 3, 4, 5 minutes. How does that work? Because the catcher's not wearing a mask. The batter, except for Frazier, he's wearing a mask. These are questions we haven't figured out yet, and I don't know how. I mean, for example, with baseball also, there's been a lot of to-do about the fact that when guys are warming up, they'll throw a ball to a teammate, and then the ball they use is quickly tossed to the side, and it's wiped down to get rid of germs. Well, how does that work when in a double play situation where the third baseman takes the ball on a hopper, on a DP ball, and throws it over to second base? Does that mean the second baseman has to drop the ball and get it cleaned off and get a new ball to throw on to first base? Obviously, I'm being facetious here, but I don't understand how this works. It's just very, very screwy, and we'll have to wait and see how this all plays out. But these are the concerns we're dealing with. And at the pro level, where obviously there is all sorts of medical attention and lots of experts and trainers and so on and so forth in place, how does this trickle down to the high school level or the travel team level, where budgets are much more severe and there's a lot less medical personnel to supervise this? We just don't know. That's the problem. Let's continue very quickly over to Ron and Wyckoff. Ron, you're next up on the fan.
Good morning, Rick.
Yes, Ron.
Pleasure listening to your show, but I'm a volunteer. I've been involved in youth soccer for 40 years. I do high school soccer. I also formerly reffed on the college level. One of the biggest problems I'm listening to a lot of what's going on is that there is a big difference between people who are involved in this for the money. The showcase in baseball, you got to ask these people, they're making money, because I see what's going on in soccer. The people running tournaments right now are in this for the profit.
Yes.
As opposed to us who are volunteers.
Yep.
I don't make any money. I get paid for officiating, but I don't make money for my work on the board. And I think there's a big difference. The people on the professional level who get paid for this are worried about their income, whether they be paid trainers or running tournaments. They make a lot of money off of this. And therefore, when we talk to someone running a baseball showcase, ask them, are you making money? Are people making money off of this? They have a completely different take on this because they're losing millions of dollars.
Ron,
that bothers me in making decisions.
I hear you loud and clear, and that's a good point to end the show on. Yeah, there are different priorities here between travel teams, which are run for profit. You people listening to the show know I've talked about this for a long time, as opposed to high school educators, who obviously are there for the education and the safety and health and welfare of their students / athletes. Big difference, and I think that's something that parents have to keep in mind as they go ahead, because it is a major issue that people don't often talk about in public. Okay, that's going to do it for me in this edition of the Sports Edge. My thanks this morning to Ed Arzuman. Please stick around for Ed Randall. He is up next. I'll see you next week right here on the Sports Edge.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world.
Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.